were in need of humanitarian assistance. The country secured only 27% of the $195 million pledged in aid. Extreme weather, hunger, and political unrest were among the challenges faced by the people of Burundi. In a country where 90% of the people rely on small-scale agriculture, only a third of land is suitable for cultivation due to drought, floods, and landslides. Niger is deeply vulnerable to climate disasters. Persistent droughts and recurring floods have had catastrophic consequences for Niger. Nearly 3 million people rely on humanitarian aid. About 1.8 million children need food assistance, and almost half of all the children under the age of 5 are malnourished in Niger. Militias in eastern and northern Niger have caused 313,000 people to be displaced as of last September. The report said providing emergency relief is often hindered by the fact that infrastructure is destroyed, operation areas are marked by violence, and rural areas are difficult to access. Zimbabwe. Zimbabwe has acute food insecurity with increasingly extreme climate conditions and economic mismanagement, causing 6.6 million people to need humanitarian aid. More than a third of the population, 5.7 million people, lack sufficient food in Zimbabwe. The report said the harvests in many rural areas are not sufficient to secure basic food supplies and other needs. In these regions of Zimbabwe, households must rely on local markets when supplies are depleted, but the prices there are unaffordable for many. Honduras. Poverty and violence have exacerbated the humanitarian situation in Honduras, prompting many to leave for the United States. According to a 2020 study, about 70% of the population of Honduras lives in poverty. There have been problems with farming because of drought, hurricanes, and floods. The country has 937,000 displaced people, the highest number in Latin America. The report said, in Honduras, people therefore often talk about poverty being female, as it is mostly women who stay behind with the children.
IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website www.parstoday.com/en.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his perfect progeny. Dear brothers and sisters, all over the world, assalamu alaikum and welcome to yet another edition from a series of Canon Islamic Beliefs from IRIB English Radio. As you have been following and listening such shows from IRIB English Radio, in this series of shows we are trying to talk about the questions and, let's say, the doubts and misconceptions that we are receiving from different questioners all around the world. For that, we have invited Islamic researcher and scholar Sheikh Nur Muhammad from Qom Seminary Schools to the show to help us to answer the questions. Before Asking the first question, I'd like to welcome Sheikh to the show and say salam to him. Salam alaikum, Sheikh. Welcome to the show.
Salam alaikum wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me.
Many thanks for accepting the invitation. The question of the day that we want to talk about is concerning the birth and martyrdom anniversary for some figures in Islam. It is being said that it's known as heresy, or let's say bid'ah, or innovation in Islamic beliefs. We want to ask the respected guest, the speaker of the show, Sheikh Nur Muhammad, to shed some light on these topics, to tell us if, in case we commemorate the birth anniversary of an imam or infallible, or let's say a sacred person, a figure in Islam, or an authority in Islam, is it known as bid'ah or heresy or innovation? Before that, can you please tell us what bid'ah is? What does innovation mean? Is it is this kind of action that we commemorate the goodness of a person, is a bad action that we call it bid'ah or heresy or shirk?
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Talking about innovation and bid'ah, you see some people accused us and accused some Muslim that they are mubdi' and they create problem and trouble for the Islamic Ummah, and they have some innovation, and of course they explain a lot about that. You see, the bid'ah and innovation, according to the scholar and Shia scholar, it means that إدخال ما علم أنه ليس في الدين ليس من الدين في الدين. To enter into the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala what is not from the religion, to ascribe it to the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ولكن يفعله بأنه أمر به الشارع. That individual and person practice that innovation, and he ascribe it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. كإباحة محرم أو تحريم مباح أو إيجاب ما ليس بواجب. Or for example, to make it allowed what is forbidden, or on the other side, okay, to make it forbidden what is allowed. And سواء كان في القرون الثلاثة أو بعدها, it doesn't matter whether it has been happened in the beginning of Islam, in the beginning centuries,
the first three centuries,
yes, 3 centuries of Islam, or after that, referring to the, some caliphs in the beginning of Islam, they caused some innovation. Okay, for example, in the prayer, in Adhan, they caused some innovation in that. Of course, they mention or in the recommended prayer, which we call it Salatul Taraweeh. And they mention that it is a good bid'ah, Yeah. They mention it is a ni'mat al-bid'ah to hadhihi, referring to Taraweeh prayer. They said that it is very well, good, bid'ah mimma kanat min af'al al-khayr, because it is from the good actions, and it's because it is worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is okay.
So whatever is good in the eyes of Allah, it's good to be included in the religion, even if it is not.
Even if it is not. But according to Shia scholar, as I said in the beginning, bid'ah and innovation, it is strictly forbidden, and there is no allowance in that. We have no good bid'ah or, for example, dislike of that. Yes, it is strictly forbidden, and we are not allowed to ascribe to the religion, the divine religion, what is not from the religion. This is a meaning of bid'ah and innovation.
Okay. Now, let's be back to the main question that we started the show with. That is the programs that we take, like Maulud al-Nabi, that is the birth anniversary of the Holy Prophet, which is commonly seen and actually being held by Muslim communities, but some say that this is known to be a bid'ah, and it was not practiced, and it is not in Islam, and it was not practiced by the companions of the Holy Prophet, so we need to actually refrain from this heresy, and we have to put it aside. Is it true, Sheikh? What is the ruling here in this regard? And also, we can actually apply it to other cases as well, like the demise anniversary of the Holy Prophet himself, or others, or are the Imams and infallibles? I want you to, inshallah, shed some light on this issue.
Again, very valid question. Talking about the holding ceremonies for the noble prophet and his pure progeny, whether it is innovation or not, actually it is not innovation. Do you know why? Because these, actions, they are actually from their stem from Hubbun Nabi and Hubbu Ahlul Bayti. All Muslims, they believe in that. They believe in the love of noble prophet and love of his pure progeny. Okay? All Islamic Ummah, except some very few minority, they believe in that we should have love toward the noble prophet and his pure progeny.
As it has been mentioned in the Quran, قُلْ لَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ أَجْرًا إِلَّا الْمَوَدَّةَ فِي الْقُرْبَى.
Very well. I just want to mention this particular verse. قُلْ لَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ أَجْرًا إِلَّا الْمَوَدَّةَ فِي الْقُرْبَى. I ask not any rewards from you, except to have love for my pure progeny and close relatives. Qurba referring to the progeny of noble prophets. And of course, many other verses, for example, many other verses of the noble Quran and many narrations beside that noble prophet mentioned these narrations, and it has been frequently quoted in Sahih of the Ahlul Sunnah. For example, Man mata ala hubba ala Muhammad mata shahida. If you have the love of the progeny of noble prophet, actually you have the reward of martyrs. You see, each Muslim, they believe in the love of the noble prophet and his pure progeny. And when we establish and when we perform such ceremonies for the demise and the martyrdom, or for the birth of these pure individuals, it means that it stems and originates from our love toward them. Mm-hmm. And it has no problem, and it is actually recommended and encouraged upon.
Thank you very much.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs on IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
So if it is taken for granted for the Holy Prophet himself, okay, that's okay, no problem. But we see that in some communities, in some Muslim communities, even not for the Holy Prophet himself, rather than the Imams after him, there are some ceremonies and programs for the birth anniversary and, let's say, martyrdom anniversary. How can you apply that to other people? Or moreover, for some, let's say, religious authorities, like what they are being titled as Maraja' Taqlid, or those great scholars of Islam, the same programs are being held annually, for example, for their demise anniversary, and also there are some programs that they commemorate the personality of those figures. Does it have anything to do with that verse of Quran when you mentioned that قُلْ لَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ أَجْرًا إِلَّا الْمَوَدَّةُ فِي الْقُرْبَى? So if it is for the Qurba, the family and the household of the Prophet, it's okay, no problem. So how can you apply it to other people?
Of course, even if we accept the idea that holding such a ceremonies for the pure and noble progeny of noble prophet, it is acceptable, I think in that case is enough for us to accept that holding such a ceremonies is appropriate, and it is nice for such in the pure progeny of noble prophet to have it and to hold it. As I mentioned, it is for the hub and for the love of them. And because of that, we want to remember their status toward in the view of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to remember him and to assign them as a role model, as a sample for all humanity. It is, it contains a lot of benefits for us. Right. When they remember, for example, annually the martyrdom of Imam Ali and the Lady Zahra and other Ahlul Bayt pure progeny of noble prophet, it has a lot of reminder for us to remember they are the role model for us. Okay, they are the leader and the imams and the, you know, for the humanity and for the mankind. It has their remembrance. It contains a lot of benefit for the people. But talking about, for example, such a grand ayatollahs or maraji, of course, for the after the demise, it is mostly for sending some fatiha or some, you know, the reward of that, to sending the reward of that recitation of the Noble Quran or some verses of the chapters of the Noble Quran to the souls of that individual or marja. It contains lots of benefit for that individual, that demise marja. And of course, we send the reward of that for that such individuals. Mm. Or, for example, we give some charity on behalf of the demise person in order to have some kind of spiritual benefit for the demise one. Okay. Mm-hmm. Beside the point that when you hold such a ceremony for the grand, you know, maraj, or for example, mu'minin and mu'minat, for the faithful people and the faithful women, it contains lots of benefit for the people.
So you want to say that it is not a formal and, let's say, mandatory program, rather it is a circle of recitation of the Holy Quran to dedicate the thawab and reward of it to the soul of that person.
Of course, it is recommended, as I said, it is encouraged in Islam to hold such a ceremonies for the demise people, because
one year after their death or demise.
We do not want to talk about the time of that. For example, even after the 1 year or before that or after that, but holding such a ceremonies for the mm-hmm. demise person, at least it has a benefit of sending some reward for the soul of that demise person. And as I mentioned, it has benefit for the people, because people, when they come and they remember such great marja,
yeah.
And they remember him, and they, for example, exchange the idea of such a marja to be a leader for the some community, it contains some benefit for the people, and the people, you know, remember his teachings and, for example, ideas about Islam and the Noble Quran. So it has both sides, benefit for the people and for the demise one.
Thank you very much, dear Sheikh Nur Muhammad, for your explanations, and your respected listeners for staying tuned and listening to Q&A in Islamic Beliefs from IRIB English Radio. Assalamu alaikum.
Inna fil jannati nahran laban. Inna fil jannati nahran laban. Ali wa Hussein wa Hassan. لعلي وحسين وحسان إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسان لعلي وحسين وحسان كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في لعلي وحسين وحسن
Food for thought.
Hello dear friends, and here is what Hazrat Fatima Zahra, peace be upon her, told her loving husband, the commander of the faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, on her deathbed. Let my death not dishearten you. You have to serve Islam and humanity for a long time to come. And let not my sufferings embitter your life. Please promise me, O Ali.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With delight.
A 3-year-old girl from China's Hebei province has astonished ski enthusiasts with an impressive snowboarding talent.
Hello everybody, I'm Wang Xixi. I'm 3 years old and I can snowboard now.
Xixi's skills have attracted a lot of attention as a toddler boldly tackles the slopes. She makes snowboarding look easy. Despite her tender age, she is already taming the slopes at a higher skill level than a number of other aspiring snowboarders. Her parents say she has been practicing for less than 2 weeks and her progress is startling.
I remember several years ago, I felt quite scared when I was on the advanced slope, but a mother told me that Xixi started to snowboard down right when she got to the advanced trail. She was not afraid at all.
Her parents say she quickly grasped the snowboarding movements and techniques, including some of the trickier swivels and turns. They say Xixi is enjoying the progress she is making on the slopes, and every chance she gets, she asks to go snowboarding. The young snowboarder's mum says the hobby has also brought the family closer together as they enjoy a shared passion together.
The chronic shortage of human organs has always been an issue for patients, especially those suffering from heart diseases. But now a major scientific breakthrough is in the making. U.S. surgeons have successfully implanted a heart from a genetically modified pig into a man. Doctors had said the patient, 57-year-old, was unable to have human transplant because of his health conditions. But now he is recovering from his latest surgery. The surgeons say the man is being carefully monitored to determine how the new organ is performing. But for those who want to know why pigs, here is why. Pigs are considered ideal donors because of their size and rapid growth, among other things.
You know, it is a game changer because, now we will have these organs readily available. If this works, and I hope it will work, we'll have these organs available. We have the technique of genetically modifying. So if there are more tweaking required for modifying the genes, we will be able to do that. And can customize basically the heart for or the organ for the patient.
The transplant is the first of its kind in the world and follows years of research. In the U.S. alone, about 110,000 people are currently waiting for an organ transplant. Also, more than 6,000 patients die each year before getting one. A kingdom of ice and snow. Don't be surprised. It's an international sculpture festival held annually in the Chinese city of Harbin. This year, the venue brims with sports elements in a runner-up to the 2022 Winter Olympics scheduled in Beijing. The annual Winter Festival is the largest of its kind, where sculptors spend weeks using ice and snow to create structures under a given theme. The upcoming Winter Games is the theme this year, as one can visualize giant statues of Bing Duanduan. The adorable panda mascots are major attractions of the exhibition. The chief designer says an ice tower standing in the center of the park features 24 vertical structures, referring to the 24th Winter Olympics.
In terms of the design concept, the sculpture features 24 vertical structures, referring to the 24th Winter Olympics to be held in Beijing. The spiral array form also indicated the proactive spirit of the Olympics. The free and upward effect is a vivid presentation of the Olympic flame.
The annual festival, which is being held for about 3 decades, usually attracts domestic and foreign tourists. But COVID-19 restrictions have limited the crowds over the past couple of years. Harbin is located in northeast China and receives cold winter wind from Siberia. An average winter temperature there is around minus 17 degrees Celsius.
South Koreans enjoy a wildlife refuge near the Korean Demilitarized Zone. New tours opened in November from the DMZ Crane Peace Town. Frank Smith has more in this report.
A new hiking trail and birdwatching facility opened up in South Korea this past November. DMZ Crane Peace Town created special birding cabins and guides wilderness hikes north of the 38th parallel, near the DMZ, the fortified border with North Korea. The Demilitarized Zone was created with the armistice that ended the Korean War back in 1953. Guard post fencing and a 2 to 4 kilometer wide buffer zone now separate North Korea and South Korea, with that no man's land becoming home to rejuvenated plant and wildlife. Local officials see wildlife tourism as an opportunity to promote inter-Korean peace.
Cranes know no borders. That's why we're promoting the crane as a symbol of peace, as they can freely come and go between North and South Korea.
Each winter, several species of birds, especially cranes, spend time to rest and feed in the area, where there's little development and few people. Officials say more birds have been coming here because of depleted feeding grounds in the north.
Shirwan has wide plains suitable for growing rice. Cranes eat the grain that has fallen after harvest, and it's the best place for cranes because it's located north of the civilian control line.
A safe vantage point to photograph the wildlife is provided at the Hantan River near Yangji Village, attracting birders from far afield.
I left home at 4 in the morning to come here to photograph wild birds, swans and cranes. It's good because there are many mallard ducks and other birds. They fight for food with each other, but it's fun.
Cranes are considered a sacred symbol of longevity and fortune here and designated a national monument. Frank Smith, Cheonan County, South Korea.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Thirty-three lucky green sea turtles get a new lease on life in Indonesia. The turtles were released into the sea off the coast of the island of Bali. Tourists and locals gathered to watch the endangered animals get their way back to the wild. Authorities rescued the reptiles from poachers late last year. The population of green sea turtles has fell sharply in recent years due to excessive hunting, and the loss of nesting sites. In Chile, three Andean condors are back in the wild after years of rehab at a rescue center. The vulnerable vultures were released near the Chilean capital, Santiago. Scientists will continue to monitor the birds to make sure they are healthy. Andean condors occupy a special place in Chile. They are, in fact, the country's national bird and a symbol of power and health. The vultures are one of the biggest flight-capable birds in the world, with a wingspan of up to 3.2 meters. Conservationists in several countries are trying to shore up their population.
In Germany, tasty bits of crumbs are all it takes for hundreds of sheep and goats to participate in the campaign to encourage vaccination against COVID-19. 700 farm animals were arranged into a 100-meter-long syringe in a pasture south of Hamburg. The shepherd says she spent several days practicing the herd. The sheep and goats were lured by pieces of bread, which they quickly gobbled up after being released into the field. Helping the shepherd was an organizer who works with a flock to run team training exercises for companies. He says they wanted to do something to grab people's attention and encourage them to get COVID jabs.
Well, if I were to just write it on Facebook, nobody would notice it. And my job is to have company teams leading some thousand sheep from A to B, and I have noticed how enthusiastically the sheep are received, and that it simply reaches people deep inside, which is perhaps not possible rationally, with rational arguments.
Etzold says sheep bring out the soft side of people and hopes that this will help convey the message. So far, the campaign has received a positive response, with videos of the sheep arrangements going viral. Official data shows Germany has the lowest inoculation rate among Western European nations. This is mainly attributed to vaccination hesitancy, as well as a small percentage who vehemently oppose getting the jab. Technological change is accelerating today, with robots and artificial intelligence making fast inroads into human lives. A consumer electronics show in Las Vegas is the latest example of the same. From lifelike baby dolls to full-grown human-like robots are on the display. They not only write, cry, laugh, and blink, but some of them speak and react when you tell them something. The most interesting thing about these robots is their reactions, which are just like humans, seeming as if they are real people. The robot makers say soon people will not be scared of these human-faced machines being among them.
Humans are so complex, so making a robot exactly like a human is almost impossible. If we did that, then you wouldn't be scared of it, because you'd just assume it's a human. But you get that uncanny valley just before, where it doesn't quite move like a human, doesn't quite express itself or emote or talk like a human. And that's the uncanny valley. That's the scary bit. If you go further back to something that looks less like a human, then suddenly you like it a lot more.
The robot makers hope that the way these robots are made would help even doctors how to treat and confront children, for instance. They also hope that by adding more human characteristics to these robots, the machines will be at the service of humans more than before. Let's see what's happening in one of the world's oldest festivals. It's called Black and White Carnival, celebrated every year in the Colombian city of Pasto. But it has a lot more than what its name may suggest. The carnival, full of vibrant colors and fun, livens up when people perform music too. Those in attendance even threw talcum powder and foam to add more doses of joy. More things to visit too. Colorful monuments and floats are brought to the streets. An artisan explains what's behind one of the huge sculptures exhibited there.
This commemorates what we are going through right now in the world, the virus, that little thing that brought COVID. We have skulls, people who died, those who are reborn, children, old people, and a lady. That's the whole motif. It's called rebirth.
The event has roots in Spanish and African traditions related to the indigenous people of Colombia. The carnival is aimed at highlighting the diversity of ethnic and cultural backgrounds. Its name symbolizes unity and equality. The festival continues until January the 10th. A zoo in the Netherlands is celebrating the birth of a newborn manatee, a rare event among the endangered species, especially within the confines of captivity. The newcomer was born in a Royal Burger Zoo in a Dutch city of Arnhem. Zookeepers say the birth went smoothly, adding that this is the mother's second calf. The newborn is still too young for keepers to be able to determine its gender, but handlers hope it will be a female. That's because there are only 15 females in European zoos. Manatees are closely related to elephants and are sometimes called sea cows because of their herbivorous diet. These gentle giants are listed as vulnerable to extinction mainly because of loss of habitat and collisions with boats. Shanghai is one of the most famous cities in the world, boasting an impressive number of tourist attractions. Now, the city is host to a new event that could draw excited visitors. The exhibition includes more than 100 items from Egypt, including 6 golden mummies. The most prized object on display is a 20-year-old female mummy with a gold mask and 2 jewels for eyes. Organizers have also put up for show original works by great European artists such as Raphael and Pablo Picasso.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, dear brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen. Salam and salutations of Allah be upon all of you. You are listening to IRIB English Radio and this program today is special. I invite you to be with us. Our topic for today is the concept of divorce in Islam. Today, Saturday, is the 12th of Jamadi al-Thani, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar. Corresponding to the 25th of day, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 5th of January, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. As usual, we start with the Holy Quran. Today, we'll listen to chapter Talaq, verse 1. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
يَا أَيُّهَا النَّبِيُّ إِذَا طَلَّقْتُمُ النِّسَاءَ فَطَلِّقُوهُنَّ لِعِدَّتِهِنَّ وَأَحْصُوا الْعِدَّةَ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ رَبَّكُمْ لَا تُخْرِجُوهُنَّ مِنْ بُيُوتِهِنَّ وَلَا يَخْرُجْنَ إلا أن يأتين بفاحشة مبينة وتلك حدود الله ومن يتعد حدود الله فقد ظلم نفسه لا تدري لعل الله يحدث بعد ذلك أمرا.
O Prophet, when you Muslims divorce women, divorce them for the commencement of their waiting period, and keep count of the waiting period, and fear Allah, your Lord. Do not turn them out of their husbands' houses, nor should they themselves leave during that period, unless they are committing a clear immorality. And those are the limits set by Allah, and whoever transgresses the limits of Allah has certainly wronged himself. You know not. Perhaps Allah will bring about after that a different matter.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Divorce is subject to certain conditions and specific rules and ethical principles. Likewise, there are certain requirements for confrontation with enemies, and Muslims are not supposed to poison the drinking water, destroy the trees, and wrong children, women, and senior citizens. Significant factors leading to divorce include the partner's mistreatment of each other. The Blessed Chapter mainly treats of divorce, with which it opens by addressing the noble Prophet of Islam as the great leader of the Islamic community, and states the general ruling by a plural verbal form, saying, O Messenger, whenever you intend to divorce your wives, do so at the time of their prescribed periods.
قلب ينبض بالقرآن وهنا حلقات الصديق قلب ينبض بالقرآن.
This is IRIB English Radio, today's special continuation of this program about divorce in Islam. Islam tolerates divorce and separation of a husband and wife under specific conditions. However, Islam regards divorce as abhorrent and reprehensible. Thus, it has been censured in hadith. Imam Sadiq has declared, Verily, Allah loves a house in which a wedding is held and hates a house in which a divorce is conducted. And there is nothing more hateful than divorce. Noble Imam Sadiq, peace be upon him, has elsewhere announced, Among that which Allah has made permissible, there is nothing he hates more than divorce, and Allah hates a man who divorces and marries many women. Sayyid Javad Al-Ghazwini.
Islam is against dehumanizing people. Islam is against the harassment of human beings. Even animals and plants and the wildlife shall not be harassed. But there is one area within our community. It's a cup of tea that if you were to drink from, you will be dehumanized and disrespected. You will feel agony and pain for many years, and that is going through a divorce. For many reasons. One that I shall focus on a little further into this discourse is trying to seek a divorce. And we all know that it is easier to seek a divorce for a man in our community than a woman. God forbid if you happen to be a woman in our community trying to get a divorce. Some of them will be dehumanized, humiliated, disrespected. Their lives would be on a pause, not for a week or two or three, not for a month, not for months, sometimes years. I came across a real individual. This is not a story. This is not some fictitious tale. That had to wait 7 years to get it, to be granted a divorce. 7 years of agony and pain. You have to write 50 emails, 100 letters, speak to 60 Maulana. Sometimes you have to travel to Najaf and to Qom just to be granted your freedom. And similarly, some of the men in our community are disrespected when they go to the courts, whether it's in Europe or America or Canada or elsewhere, because it's a war. Divorce and the divorce process turns into a war, a battlefield, a bloody battlefield. How we are willing to fight a dirty war and accuse someone and possibly cause them imprisonment and possibly cause them deportation just because we're going through a divorce? Just because your lawyer told you that this is the best way for you to be granted a divorce? Or to accuse your husband, who may be the father of your children, of lies and accusations? Just to quench your thirst for revenge? This is a problem, and it scars people for many years. And this is not a discourse where we side with either the woman or the men.
IRIB English Radio. Recitation as well as translation of Quran.
وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ.
And we certainly gave Moses the scripture that perhaps they would be guided.
Short commentary of the Quran. Islamic issues.
Institution of the family in Islam is the most beloved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The life of the infallible. All in all, in today's special, IRIB English Radio.
Now, dear brothers and sisters, let's look at the steps to an Islamic divorce. Evaluate and try to reconcile. When a marriage is in danger, couples are advised to pursue all possible remedies to rebuild the relationship. Divorce is allowed as a last option, but it is discouraged. The Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, once said, "Of all the lawful things, divorce is the most hated by Allah." For this reason, the first step a couple should make is to really search their hearts, evaluate the relationship, and try to reconcile. All marriages have ups and downs, and this decision should not be arrived at easily. Ask yourself, have I really tried everything else? Evaluate your own needs and weaknesses. Think through the consequences. Try to remember the good things about your spouse, and find forgiveness patience in your heart for minor annoyances. Communicate with your spouse about your feelings, fears, and needs during these steps. The assistance of a neutral Islamic counselor may be helpful for some people.
Allah, 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 Allah. As I look to nature's beauty, dazzled am I, knowing everything calls on you, the Lord Most High.
Allah alladhi yahdina jami'an, Allah alladhi na'tiz bihi jami'an.
Now it's time to look at tips to cope and move forward. This is the continuation of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Find a support system. Anyone who's gone through it knows getting through divorce is taxing emotionally and spiritually. Lean on your friends and family, both new and old, to help you survive the toughest times. Finding a support system is a key to coping with divorce. It might feel challenging at first to make an effort to spend time with others, but you'll be better off for it. Reach out to old friends and make plans. Or find new friends to connect and spend time with. Support groups are an excellent place to connect with other people who understand exactly what you're going through.
Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, la ilaha illallah.
Just like I spoke of granting a divorce, yes, for women mostly, it is very difficult. It is painful. But sometimes, if you know certain people in high places, then it's the opposite. I know men and I know women, and Allah is my witness, who tell me we go and see certain religious figures. And before I speak, whether it's the man or before I speak, he wants to grant the divorce. I said, but you've only heard one side of the story. Hear my side as well. He says, no, I know you're such and such. I know this grant divorce must be granted. Because I believe her side of the story. Or I believe his side of the story. In fact, I came across a real incident where a brother and a sister, may Allah bless them, alhamdulillah, they continue to be married, came to me on the very verge of divorce, the last moment. And they came to get a divorce. So they sat, both of them. And as soon as they sat and I greeted them, I looked at the sister and I said, sister, why don't you start by telling me what is the problem? So she spoke for nearly an hour and she cried. And I listened. Then I looked at him and he spoke for maybe 15-20 minutes and I listened. And then I looked at him and I said, my brother, you're wrong. What you're asking of this woman is just your traditions and your culture. It's not Islamic. If you want advice for me, from me, I can give you Islamic advice. But if you want cultural advice, I'm not the one for that. Go ask someone else. Protect your family. Protect this most beloved institution by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the eyes of Allah.
Dear friend, inshallah we learn more about divorce, especially in the view of Islam, in the next episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Till then, we leave you in Allah's protection. Fi amanillah.
I'm not alone. What I've seen has been seen before, but it hurts just like a thorn, a pain I never felt before. My heart said, just speak the truth. My mind said, don't be a fool. I need to get something off my mind. Don't let this silence be misunderstood. I don't know where my heart will take me, but I know your life or protect me from this fragile world.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.